Hey, thanks for tuning in to the feature story interviews for the Midwest Cattlemen. Here is our interview with Ashley McCarty for the January 2025 feature Shoot Side versus Saddled Up, discussing cattle handling techniques.
So how is everything in North Missouri this morning?
It is a cold, crisp morning. We had a touch of snow, not what most of the state did. We were shut out of the first snow, which we are not particularly complaining about, though moisture is never a bad thing. But it is finally winter.
Yeah, Laura and I were commenting a few days ago, and we kind of bypassed fall. We went from the hottest summer to the cold of winter, and there really wasn't much transition there. But unlike you, I don't mind the snow, but as long as it just is wet, that's the important thing.
It is. It is. We have been dry. Didn't really get even some fall moisture, and so we won't complain if the precipitation pattern wants to hit us.
Right, for sure. Well, actually, I appreciate you jumping on this morning. My morning voice is not near as good as my evening voice, but we're here and we're going to make it happen. So this article is about animal, or sorry, cattle handling. Looking at the differences between, doing that the traditional style via horseback versus the modern style with a full set of pens and corrals and chutes and everything. Know that your family probably utilizes the latter, but also is largely in the former handling process. Just kind of want to get your all's experience and your take and insight around the good, the bad, the otherwise, and how people can decide which is the best one for them.
Absolutely. I'm happy to share our experience. So, we have a commercial cow-calf operation, just for a little bit of background, in the rolling hills of North Central Missouri, so the Green Hills area, and have three boys and several horses. Our kids have grown up on horseback, and we had horses, both my husband and I, growing up, as well as cattle operations, and had horses of our own before we started our own cow herd. So, with that said, we really do consider ourselves ranchers more than farmers. We don't have any row crop. We're not diversified in that way. We are cattlemen and horsemen. And so, we do take a very traditional approach to a ranch culture here. And part of that comes from my husband interned on some kind of legendary operations out west when he was in college. We both have degrees in animal science and agriculture from Mizzou, but he went and spent time on the Hathorn Ranch in Nebraska and on the Padlock Ranch in Wyoming and Montana. And so got to see those principles in action during that time of his life. And so we've brought that back to our farm and really have stressed being handy on a horse and being able to read cows as very important to us. In part because we've got three boys and we don't have a huge spread, enough cows to keep us busy, but we've got three boys to make into young men and we have a whole bunch of horses to make into good horses. And so we feel like the combination of working those two is pretty productive and pretty fruitful. And really it is a combination of those. Our 17-year-old is anxious to go see the world. He wants to get out west just as soon as he can get out west, but we kept him busy. This fall, we fall calf exclusively. We kept him busy this fall. He roped and tagged every newborn baby calf. He does all of the herd health management, not all, he does the majority of the herd health management via horseback, right? There's occasionally a need for a chute. And so it's that combination of making good horses, keeping good herd health and a good cow herd, and making young men that we've found this to be the right fit for us.
I didn't realize that your husband had that background. That's really cool.
That sure helps because it can be a steep learning curve, right? Like there's a lot to it. There is a lot of when you're dealing with a cow or a bull or a steer or whatever, a calf, whatever it may be, and a horse and people. There's a lot of moving parts, so it's not something that's it's something you got to kind of know and learn a lot of experiences. And our boys are still learning a lot, particularly the young ones. And so there's a lot of moving parts and a lot to keep an eye on and be aware of. So that experience was helpful in getting everybody started. And we're fortunate in that I'm sure this is replicated across the state of Missouri, but we've got a bit of a cowboy culture up here. There's enough big ranches that there's a lot of day workers, and my oldest son is one of those. And so he gets to go day work on other operations as well that are primarily horseback day jobs. And that's pretty cool when you're a he started when he was 15. When you're a 15-year-old kid and get to get paid a couple hundred dollars a day anytime you go unload your horse and
Yes.
to go gather, to go work, right? You actually think you're on top of the world. $200 is a lot when mom and dad are paying the fuel bill and the feed bill and helping with the horses as well. And then the other benefit is he makes good horses. He's not only getting paid to, and this is probably the way that a cowboy has to work, right? He's not only getting paid to day work, but he is making horses that then he turns around and sells to help them find a good place and to help people find horses that are a good fit for their family.
That's awesome. And that, to your point about the cowboy culture, I am always surprised whether it's anywhere in Missouri or anywhere, frankly, in the nation, there's cowboys everywhere. And it seems like there are these pockets where it's almost more of a recognizable lifestyle and just, more public facing, you might say. But it always surprises me that you can go anywhere in the state or anywhere in the country, and you're going to find people who love to ride horses, love to work cattle horseback, are the real deal cowboys. You don't see them every day, but they're always there, it seems like.
You are exactly right. Chris Ledoux wasn't wrong that you can't always see them from the road. He's right in that. And we're not in an area, right? So I mentioned we rodeo. We're not in an area where there's an abundance of other competition opportunities. And so I think you can make a good horse and you can show a good horse, right? You can take pride in a horse working well. Even out in the pasture roping or gathering and doctoring or branding. And that's part of it here. So we're not going to be the reined cow horse of the world, right? We're not Wickenburg, Arizona, where there's a roping pen every half a mile. But there are opportunities here across the grasslands that Missouri has such a strength in, and the cow-calf herds that Missouri has such a strength in to find cowboys at work all the time. And as I mentioned, it's not a solution every time, but most everything can be done via horseback. That's not always mean it's the most efficient way, and we understand that trade-off, right? And we did. So we just got done with fall works, and we did rope and drag calves to castrate and vaccinate, and it was an opportunity to invite over friends, to invite over other cowboys, to invite friends from out of the area that are also our horsemen, that are also working on making good horses, and to just celebrate a little bit of why we do this, right? That what we're doing the part of it that we really do love. And so those days are always a highlight.
So going back to the early years of y'all's operation, were you guys doing this even whenever the boys were young, or when did really the full on cowboying, we'll call it, take place on the McCarty Cattle Company operation?
Great, great question. So when we moved back from Central Missouri from getting our education and built our first cow herd, starting at 20 cows, with help from our family, we had horses. And there is just something about a horse. God made a horse to be a pretty good complement to a cow. So from the very beginning, we have always checked cows, checked calves on horseback. Now, part of it is we fall calve, right? It is beautiful in August, September, and October. You don't want to do anything but get home, saddle up, and because we both work off farm jobs, get home, saddle up, and go ride through the cows and make sure everything's doing well. This isn't, we're not slogging it out in January through March, in the hail and the snow and the wind. And so that's part of why we fall calve. It also works well for people who are off the farm and can't be there every second of the day. But yes, we've always integrated horses into our operation. And as the boys have grown, the integration of that is even more and more each day. There's never a trailer not hooked up. So we've got farms in three directions from us, not far, but enough that you can trot, you can long trot up to one, which is a great way to make a colt to go on a 6 mile trot. But you've got a trailer a couple miles to some of the others. And so there's always a trailer hooked up, and almost every day, cows headed out to be checked on horseback now. But that's just grown as our boys have grown, and I hope we'll continue to. The big one just the our oldest son lives and breathes the cowboy lifestyle. He's on a horse, I'm gonna say 320 to 340 days a year. And there's not a day that that's not what he wants to be doing. So I'm hoping he passes on a little bit of that passion more. I hope he keeps helping build more of that passion and drive in his younger brothers, because there will be a massive hole if he decides to go out west and either pursue an education or go start cowboying out there. But it's a way that I think that just it's a great fit for our operation. So we're in pastures that are a lot of hills and wooded draws, and there's a lot of little pockets where a cow can be. So going out and checking on some of our places wouldn't work in a truck. You can't quite get everywhere. And so that's part of what drives it as well, that there's no better way to sneak through about anywhere a cow can on the back of a horse. And I can see us keeping continuing on in that tradition, even once they're out of the house.
I know folks that don't go with their traditional route and are a little bit more modern. They're always talking about, well, I only got to feed my four wheeler whenever I'm driving him. And I always get the comment, yeah, but my horse can go places your four wheeler can't think of.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, and I understand the convenience, right? I mean, there are trade-offs to convenience. We can probably there's times that either is a trade-off. We can efficiently go out and we have one, let's say, pink eye case, or one with a sore foot with some foot rot. We can sneak in there, drop a rope on her, lay her down kind of where she is, and not have to disrupt the whole herd and move everybody in and work through a chute, right? There's some opportunities there. And they're right. Those four-wheelers start on command. They're generally where you park them. They don't require a saddle and tack, but the trade-off of the joy of being on a horse, but making a good horse that can turn into an asset. My son just replenished his entire bank account by making a good pony. And he'd had that pony. He invested time and effort and had been dragging calves on that pony and calving and checking and working and playing on that pony for 2.5 years. But that just replenished his bank account and made a horse for a family. He's always got one under development and usually an outside horse as well. And so, $200 a day is pretty good cowboy pay if your living expenses are paid for. And then the $700 to $1,000 a month that also comes in from riding and making good horses is also pretty significant to a cowboy's lifestyle.
Yeah, definitely. That's love it.
Yeah.
So I know we've covered a lot, but I kind of got some specific questions I want to
Yeah.
dive into a little bit, and we might have some reiteration of what we've already talked
Yep,
about, but
that's
maybe we
fine.
can kind of expand on some things. So in addition to what you've already kind of shared just from the landscape and maybe the intangible benefits from the horse side and everything, from a tactical, what do you see as the biggest advantages to working, handling, processing cattle with this approach?
Yes. So, one is mobility. There are places that a four-wheeler would struggle, a truck would struggle to go lay eyes on all of our cows at times in the country that we're running cattle in. And so there's an advantage to being able to cover some rough country with horses to be able to lay eyes on everything we've got, check calving cows, whatever it may be. There's also some opportunity to ease in and assess. You know, you can ride through a herd and assess animal health. And if you see something, treat it right then and there. You don't have to be close to the working facilities. You can sure lay a rope on an animal and have something at your fingertips pretty quickly. And so we see that as an advantage. And then there's just the ability to just drop in wherever those cows are and tend to them there.
And so let's look at like the working days where you're going to be getting the whole herd up regardless. You got all the calves to get through. Maybe you're even doing something with the cows. From that standpoint, where do you see? Because I know that you guys, or I should clarify, do you use a shooting and corral and alley system at all when you're working, or how does that work for you
We
guys?
do for cows.
Okay.
We or you know, breeding time, heifers.
Yep.
We do have chutes and corral systems at our farms, and they're not very well used, but we do. And so if we're going to run cows through and vaccinate cows, we're going to do that through the chute system typically. So this fall, let's use as an example, we gathered our fall calving pairs. We ran the cows through the chute, gave them their pre-breeding vaccines real quickly, and then kept those calves up and still in the corral system. Use that as an opportunity to make good horses and make good young cowboys, and roped those calves to vaccinate and castrate and implant in certain cases. So, yes, there's a combination of both.
So looking at, I guess let's look at the calf side of things then. The roping branding pin, it's almost kind of an iconic place on the ranch where you're riding horseback. So from that standpoint, what do you see as the biggest advantage to you to working calves? Or even maybe if you're processing stockers or whatever the case is, because obviously the cows is a little bit more difficult. But what's your biggest advantages on working calves with this approach?
Yes, with good cowboys, it runs like clockwork. So you can have a set of calves lined up, right? Even with three or four cowboys, you can have calves lined up just as quickly as you can process them. If you've got cowboys that can head and heel, you've got calves with their ear up to ear tag, their neck accessible to be able to vaccinate and in good position to be able to castrate very quickly, and they almost have no idea what's come and what's gone before they're up and kicked back out to go back and find mama cow. So it can be a very efficient process with the right help on the ground and mounted on horseback.
So what does it take to have a good crew that can make that happen?
Your crew really one has to. I'm not even going to say has to have good horses, Austin. They have to be good cowboys. They have to be good riders, right? There's a lot of cowboys in a branding pen making a young horse and teaching a young horse the ropes. And so it doesn't take a fancy high-end horse, but you've got to have a cowboy that can read a cow, obviously, or read a calf and really be able to handle themselves and their animal in a crowded environment. So ideally, we have four cowboys mounted and a group of 35 to 50 calves to work. And those cowboys can sneak in, lay a trap with a rope on the ground, and catch two feet and pull that calf out to where we're working in the middle of a pen. And so the ability to be able to read everything going on around you is pretty darn important, and make sure that everybody stay, the animals and people all stay safe during the operation is pretty important. And then you've got to have some quick-footed handy people on the ground just to be able to get in there and get their job done. And we often rotate. So who's on our ground crew and our horseback crew often rotates about halfway through, and we switch it up so that everybody's horses and all the ropers get to have a little bit of both sides of the job.
And I've heard that there's kind of a initiation phase that you got to go through in the pen. Walk me through what that looks like.
Yes. Yeah. So we have had a variety of friends help. And as our kids get older, our help gets older, right? Because their friends are also older. But back when those kids were 8 and 10, we had a variety of kids that often we were just parents were kind of doing double duty, and we would take a some people won't take one leg. If you got one leg on a calf, you need to drop it rather than two, because they handle a lot better when you've got both. As they get older, we're pickier, but it's often new people get to start on the ground, and then they might get to work a calf or two, right? They might get to rope and drag a calf or two, and then they're back on the ground just to keep them coming back for more. And there's cowboys that love it so much. We've had good cowboys come and just say, we just appreciate the opportunities. We appreciate getting to work calves this traditional way, and we're just here to help. We just had some new friends in the roping pen this fall that have done a little bit in Iowa, but they live in Iowa, right? Where everybody's got a handful of acres on some really expensive ground, and everything's right there by the house. And they just believed they were in absolute heaven, getting to run across the countryside on open ground, gather cows, and then getting to rope and be in the branding pen. And so they said, we are 4.5 hours away. Anytime you have a group, you just call us and you let us know. And we will, because they were good help. But yes, it takes a little bit of time to get the right to ride in there first. And this fall we had younger cowboys. Our next oldest is 14, and so we had a group of friends that were building through him as well. And we wanted to make sure that we had a handy cowboy that we knew could catch anything, as well as some youngsters that were getting their hand at trying each time on horseback, because it's important to us. And we felt this way whether we were involved in 4-H or rodeo or ranch work, that it's important to invest in the next generation. And not everybody has these opportunities. Even if they have cows, they may not be from an operation that is going to have any tolerance to be working cows on horseback. And so we want to make sure people do have that opportunity, because that's what it takes to keep the culture going and the horse culture going. And that's really important to us. So we try really hard to be mentors in all aspects, just to offer what we have. Not that we are the be all, end all, know all, just to be able to offer opportunities for people to learn.
So on your operation, do you have kind of guidelines or expectations around who can and can't start roping in the pen? Or because obviously everyone's gonna want to do it. How do you kind of decide, okay, you can, you're not quite ready yet, and what is that barrier?
It is your ability to handle a horse and read a situation, right? Above all, we don't want the situation to go south and people to get hurt. And so it's our quick read. We had someone out that it's a real novice, right? And so we kind of cleared the pen and let him have a couple tries, put him on our horses that were experienced. So somebody, we didn't have a novice horseman and a novice horse, and gave him a few tries and then said, we really appreciate your work. Thank you. Now it's back to getting down so you can read a cow a little bit more, a little bit better, and you can keep coming back each year. And so we appreciate everybody who has a want to, right? That's the beginning. A lot of people can, you don't, you do not, I firmly believe you don't have to have grown up in this aspect of the industry. You sure have to work pretty hard to learn it. But you don't want the fact that they didn't grow up on a working ranch with horses to be the barrier to somebody's dreams and what they can accomplish moving forward.
So, what are some of the biggest limitations that you encounter, and how do you work around those?
I was going to say help, but that is never actually been a problem. This is not one where labor is a problem.
Right,
There
we
is
got waiting lists for help, I'm sure.
exactly. Yeah, we do. And there's a bevy of working cowboys, day working cowboys that would show up anytime we needed help. And so this may be one aspect of the labor market. These people are so passionate and so in love with what they do that there's a whole culture of people, at least around us, that would show up and help any day. This may be one area where the labor market is actually flooded. That may not be the same place the same everywhere, but there are times that you just need pens, that you just need to drive to a pen. Cows would be one of those. It certainly wouldn't be effective or efficient to, might be effective. It would not be efficient to vaccinate cows one by one. So that would be a limitation. There are times. Here's an example. We have a neighbor that has a steer in on us, right? It's been weaning time for some people, and so some of our spring calving neighbors have. We had a heifer and a steer on us this weekend on different farms, and my boys went out and pasture roped and loaded the heifer, no problem. She went right in. Pasture roped and pulled the trailer up to load the steer, and the steer was not having it. He laid down and he wasn't going to do it.
Oh,
He was non-compliant.
jeez.
And so normally they just waited him out, right? He had air, he was comfortable. They gave him a good 15 or 25 minutes, depending on the kid's perspective that you're listening to. They gave him a long time, and he was not having it. Probably in that time, they didn't know that beforehand. Probably in that time, they could have pushed and gathered all the cows and sorted the steer off and got him loaded in the trailer and got him returned home. So that's a limitation that, well, that could go either way. Things can always go wrong, right? Any of us who have worked cows long enough know that things can always go wrong. That was a situation where it didn't quite end up as they wanted it to, but there's always another day. They'll be back. They haven't given up yet.
Something else that I've heard a lot of people talk about. You mentioned you guys have a lot of horses. There's a lot of opportunity to be riding horses on the ranch. A lot of folks would say, well, I can throw a bag of cubes out there, call a whole herd up, and be done in 2 hours. It's not a 2 hour job whenever you're working horseback. Kind of walk me through, how is that a limiting factor, but why is it also worth that effort?
Absolutely. Yes, you're right. Cows that will call to you and come to feed are pretty easy to get up, right? Until they decide that they're not coming. And until they decide,
Until they get on, until they're on to you.
until they're on to you. So 7 times out of 10, you're right, they'll come. Until the times that you really need to work that day and they're not gonna have it. And we just don't give them, if you've got the right crew, you just don't give them an option to not come. And so, but it's a process. You've put in some work. Catching horses and saddling horses and trailer loading and everything. And so some of our farms, we are saddling a trailer load full of horses, and we've got a 10-year-old too that can't quite saddle his own, so we have several to saddle and trailer, and may have a chute to take over to our working facilities. And so it's quite a few logistics before you even get started, but those cows just simply don't have a choice once you've decided you're going to work, even if they're on to you. We circle and turn them, and we're on our way. We're getting ready. We're getting started working. And so there are upsides and disadvantages too. And I know that my father-in-law is the opposite side of the spectrum. So while he had cows, and he's who helped us get our first cow herd started, while he had cows, those he could sneak out there with a bucket on the back of the four-wheeler, but we better not show our faces yet. And he'll get those cows eased on up into the corral as long as everything wants to come. But they were just used to him and his slow retired ways. And so that was the opposite way. But when those cows didn't want to come, you just may not be able to work that day. And so that can be some frustrations when you're not retired and you do have to schedule your work, right? Because as I mentioned, we're both off the farm. And so when we decide a day off or a Saturday is the day that we're going to work, we really need things to go smoothly and happen that day.
I think that's a great point too, because even in a working facility, I know the number one thing that people talk about is, well, if we get them caught. Now that's the first thing that you always got to work through, and then it's, do I have enough help? And then finally, it's, are we able to get things worked through the facility without issue, without stress? So yeah, I hadn't even thought about that aspect before, but you're right in that even though it takes more time, you almost do have more control over the outcome, generally speaking.
Yes, and a cow respects a horse in a way that they just don't respect us on foot. So we've had cows in our own operations since 2007. We have recently purchased our first hot shots. We didn't need them because if something won't load, you just push them up the alley with a horse, right? Like it's just you just get back on and just push them through the box. Or we have one facility, we have a bob box, but we didn't build it quite long enough. And so the cows are wanting to sulk up if they haven't moved through just right. And so we're just back there with a horse, providing a little extra motivation to them to get moving. And so that's been helpful to us.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do you ensure that your cattle, your horses, and your crew all stay safe during the working environment? That's kind of the biggest thing that I think people look at is
Makes
we've
such
got
a
to be safety first, no matter if it's efficient, if it's quick. How do you make sure that all stays safe?
Well, in our case, that takes a lot of on the job experience and coaching, right? We have got to stress animal husbandry matters to us, and animal husbandry is the whole thing from start to finish, right? It is not, and I think there's a I don't know if it's a fairly earned misconception or not, frankly, that going out and cowboying can be rough. It can get a little wilder, right? You're going across the pasture at a full gallop. That doesn't mean necessarily, I think, that it can be harder on cattle or horses, but it takes a lot of intentional focus to make sure things stay safety first, as you mentioned. So we've got to make sure everybody is fairly well mounted or can handle their mount pretty well. And we've got to make sure everybody knows how to handle a cow, a rope, and a horse, and make sure that nobody goes out who's not prepared to do so, or that there's a pretty good crew leader to help handle when anything goes south. Sharp knives are pretty important if you've got ropes and cattle and horses, and we don't have to resort to that very often, but we make sure that we're prepared if things do go south. How to handle it. And a horse will take care of itself. So will a cow, but a horse will really take care of itself. So you've got a pretty good working partner in a way that a four-wheeler is not going to take care of you or itself. You know, the horse's interest is staying upright and keeping you mounted and not getting in a tangle. So you've almost got a partner. If you've got a sound-minded horse, you've got a partner to help keep everything safe as well. But it is a situation in which you could be kind of unaware or boneheaded about things, and things could go wrong. So we have conversations all the time about, we were right now, everything's expensive, right? So that neighbor's steer and that neighbor's heifer that were pasture loaded this weekend, they're very valuable. And we had conversations before the cowboy crew went out to go pasture load that, if things look like they're not going to load, if something starts going south, just don't worry about it. We can do this another day with a little bigger crew. We'll push them up, or we'll gate sort at the road and push them back to the neighbors or whatever it may be. And so we make sure to keep that in front of the consciousness at all times. And I think seeing the markets right now, horses are worth a lot. Cows are worth a lot. Obviously, our health and safety of the cowboys is invaluable and irreplaceable. And so all that is front of mind all the time.
So walk me through then, like whenever you're in the pen doing the branding, what are some of the key things that you're focused on during just the process in itself to stay safe?
Yes. So setup's pretty important, right? We make sure we have enough space. With enough space, you can have we mount often two people at a time, and so you can have those two people in their own space, and sometimes have a rider to keep the calves kind of gathered, for instance. And so we make sure we, as I mentioned, we often pair a more experienced roper with a more beginner roper. And so that experienced roper is kind of the crew chief out there and is the one to make sure nobody gets in each other's way and things stay safe and controlled in a very controlled manner. We set up often in our corrals or part of an arena or set up some fence. And there's some handy tools. So we use, oh my goodness, Austin, I just forgot the name of it. We use Hang on, I'll come back to that.
No, I know what you're talking about, but I don't know what it's called.
I just had it in my mind. I can picture it. I'll come back. So we use one, either good cowboys or equipment that help. If we don't have enough people, there is a contraption that I'll remember the name of here in a minute, that you can slide on that calf's head as it goes by, and it really just serves the purpose of another cowboy. It is efficient and it is great for families and people who don't just quite have enough help or just want to make it easy on calves and horses and cattle. And so we make sure we've got the right tools that we are ready to roll at all the time. And I think it's important to not be in a hurry. I think that doesn't matter which side that you're on, right? Things are going to go wrong at times when working a living creature, we're working with living creatures. And so patience is probably the most important attribute that you can bring to the branding pen or the working pen so that you're not getting flustered, frustrated, tempers aren't flaring. You just know shots are going to be missed, calves may get up. We're here to get the job done and to keep the focus on that as well. Sure does help.
Which would you say is harder, roping the calf or processing the calf?
The roping is the fun part, right?
Right.
So, I would say the processing takes longer generally and has more moving parts, right? So you've got, something that we're pretty cautious about is needle safety as well. And so we're giving this fall three vaccines. And so we've got three vaccine guns and we're walking up. Somebody is, so calf has both legs in the back and both legs in the front and it's stretched. He's not moving, but he can swing his head a little bit. And so we've got somebody on the ground next to him who's giving vaccines, who's ear tagging, and then who's ultimately going to switch sides and castrate as needed. And so the safety of that person and whoever's the ground runner bringing all of that stuff to him, we make sure we're handing vaccine guns handle first, for instance, and we've got those caps back on. Processing probably takes more effort than the roping and getting them in position.
There's a lot of details that they're important, whether you're working a shoot or whether you're working in a pen like that. But people just don't really think about those details until they're in the moment. And then, I would say that this the education and the planning probably is one of the most important things, so that you don't have those mistakes or those goof ups. Everyone knows what to do, how to do it, when to do it. It's just all a smooth flowing machine.
And we're beef quality assurance certified, and we still want to make sure BQA principles are followed. And so all that's possible, and all that is still just as important, no matter which way that you are processing and working your cattle.
Yeah, absolutely. What's the biggest mistakes that you see people making when they're working cattle and horses?
I think it goes back to attitude, actually. I think being in a hurry can get people rushing too much, can get people losing patience, and it's not going to go well. It's when tensions are high, animals are reading that, right? Either way, and it's simply not going to go well. And so I think being mistaken that something is a do or die situation, it rarely is, and that it has to be done, it rarely does. Is probably what causes the most frustration, the most tension, in that scenario, and just also we don't hesitate to have a beginner or two with us, but making sure that there is a mentor and there's somebody who is clearly delineated to make the decisions and is the boss and an understanding of the hierarchy that even amongst, in our case, a crew of young adults or a crew of kids that that person with the most experience absolutely must be listened to. That in the moment, it matters what they say. And so not having that would make for a mess. And I often this gets to horses a little more, but I've had friends who are beginners. Horses are a hard road to jump into, right? There is a lot to know. There is more to know than I think I'll ever uncover. I'm no Ray Hunt. And to know all of those parts. So I've had friends who have children out of the blue who want to become cowboys, and some of them are doing it really successfully. We had some in our Brandon pen this fall who said, first off, well, I'd like my 10-year-old to have a young horse so they can learn together. That is, yeah, that's
Oh
no different than not having a boss that with experience in the
no.
Brandon pen that they're
Exactly.
out working, right? Like somebody's got to be looking out for the whole. And so there's nothing better than an old, experienced, worn out rope horse, for instance, or an experienced horse to be able to teach young people things. And so having that experience one side or the other is so very vital. And there's a lot of lessons to be learned there in animal husbandry, really, right? In general, that can be taught by some ex with some experience. And so I just encourage people to have the right, especially getting started, have the right mount. The right mount does not have to be the flashiest. It may be a tired old workhorse that's seen its life on a ranch. You cannot phase those horses. Things can go wrong. Ropes can get crossed underneath horses, and a good experienced horse understands it and just needs to keep its head and it'll be taken care of.
And that's what makes every good horse, regardless of his age, a valuable animal.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. And we're unique. We take our ranch horses to the rodeo pen. Our team roping horses are often out doing the same ones doing ranch work. And so we junior high school rodeo up in Iowa, where they just don't a lot of our teammates don't have those opportunities. Some do, but a lot of some southern Iowas do, but a lot of them just simply don't due to the value of ground up there to produce corn and soybeans. And it sure makes for a different sort of animal, one that's just seen a little bit of everything rather than just has its experience from the competition pen and the roping pen. So we
So
value
just a
that
little
with
bit
our
of a
well-roundedness.
tangent on that point, because I'm in the ballpark where I've got a roping horse that I do some ranch work on, but he is by no means a ranch horse. How do you find the balance in a good competition horse that can also go work cows?
That's a great question. So, we've eased off. Our young horses all start with the ranch work, all of them. As our horses are getting a little bit older, Austin 10, like that sort of age, our good competition horses are getting better. And they're spending much less time working on the ranch. They're out. The good competition horses now, the head and the heel horse, are now my 10-year-old's horse. And they're taking care of the 10-year-old out in whatever situation comes, rather than being the one on the front line who's out turning back cattle or whatever it is. Like they're still out having a job, which keeps their mind sharp and fresh and in a better place. But they're just seeing the lighter end of ranch work because we really have to keep them on their best game for what their job now is, which is switched primarily to being trying to get them to the pay window in the roping pen. So there's a balance there as well. But every good young horse, I think, needs lots and lots and lots of miles of experience out in the pasture,
Yeah,
out on the
absolutely.
ranch.
It's always kind of aggravating whenever his biggest problem is he's big, he stops slow, and he doesn't move quick because he's a good roping horse. I'm like, man, I wish I had something that could go cut a
And it's the rare one that can handle both ends of that.
exactly.
We're more towards the heavy-footed, stout, ranchy style horses as well, rather than the fleet-footed ones that could go cut a cow in a pen in a competition. So, we feel that balance as well.
So last couple of questions for you. What factors should producers consider when they're trying to decide if they want to work cattle on horseback, if they want to take them into a full working facility, which way they're going to go? What are the biggest things that they should think about when they're making that decision?
Yes, absolutely. So, one is help, right? Experience with help, and there's good help. I'm confident that can be found that could work either way. It's a lot funner to work cowboy style in our opinion, and so it's easy to get a line of people waiting to come help us. But good help is important, right? And any of us know that whichever way you do it, having people there who are at the ready, who are keeping everything moving really matters. We haven't talked about temperament of cattle. So our cattle are used to pressure, right? They're used to being pushed. And that matters a lot. And so we went out to our father-in-law's once with horses and thought we were going to make things a whole lot easier. Well, we didn't, because those cattle had never experienced pressure. And so being aware of that, a cow that's always called in, and has never experienced being pushed from the back, whether with dogs or horses, sure isn't going to know what to think at first. And so there's some things to consider there. They can be transitioned from one to the other, but it sure isn't something that you think you can go ride through anybody's herd and it's gonna go just the same as it does with ours, because our cows are used to being made and told where to go. And that pressure is something that not every herd is used to. And facilities. Good facilities matter. There are certainly times that there are rogue cattle out where there's no fence on CRP and there's no option. My family gets called when they're a pot turned over this fall out on Highway 36 in North Missouri. There was no option there either, right? Or they're out on a big ranch. One of the pastures that my son works in is 1,750 acres in one contiguous piece with no cross fences. And so there's times when there's certainly one clear good option. Otherwise, facilities do matter and experience and help does matter. And I think that's on either side of that coin.
What are, I guess, maybe a better way of asking this? Given that you're not going to be truly working your cattle through the corral system, while good facilities and good equipment is still important, is there a level of pen design or just overall durability, stability that you can get away with working cattle via horse versus having to use that facility? And is that something that does that make it easier or harder to work those cattle like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So that is certainly a consideration. So we have a little bit of everything. We have some freestanding portable panels that could be better designed, that are less than ideal to load out of, or frankly, push the cows up the alleyway. It's an investment we haven't yet made on a farm that's a fairly newly acquired farm. And so we set up some pens, and that is really all that you can call it, is a set of, not even a set of pens, it's a pen. And that is a place where we've even considered just hauling the cows home and working them through the working facility at home, right? But so it's more than adequate for catching calves and being able to brand and doctor and vaccinate cattle. There's times that we don't, we're talking about pens, but there's times that for the majority of what we do, short of fall works, we don't even need pens. And so there's times that it's not even a consideration at all when you're talking about animal health and doctoring. But then we have another set of pens that is cattle panels with some solid posts and a board across the top. And so, and we added some freestanding like corral panels this year and made the pen. It did not take much. We had about some, let's say, eight freestanding panels into our working facility, and a truck was the other side. And so that makes to be able to set up about anywhere. If you've got some wings and you can push some cows into something, that makes it easy to work about anywhere. And so, considering if people have farms that they're renting, farms that don't have working facilities, that don't even have that great a fence sometimes, right? On those of us that are renters, it sure makes for an easier way to still maintain herd health and make sure that everything gets pre-breeding vaccines and to wean and everything else, when you can build a temporary set of pens and push cows into those pens. And And a lot of us, as we're trying to grow, especially younger producers, are often on some of those farms that don't have working facilities or haven't seen investment in a long time. And so, being able to work on horseback sure provides some flexibility to situations such as that.
Absolutely. What are or are there any tricks that you guys use to keep things just running smoothly and efficiently?
Oh, by the way, yes, I have remembered. The tool that I was trying to remember earlier was the Nord fork. And the Nord fork is just a simple folding metal contraption that was made out west. And the Nord fork slides over the shoulder, right in front of the shoulder blades of a calf, and takes the shoulder blades and the bottom of the jaw and just kind of holds the calf in place. It's super, super animal friendly. And the Nord fork is a trick. When we don't have four cowboys that are capable of heading and heeling, we may be short, or we have a small group of calves to work. The Nord fork is absolutely a trick that has been used when we had little kids. That if you have someone who can rope and people who can work on the ground, you can get a set of calves done pretty darn quickly using the Nord fork. So you attach it to, you stake it in the ground with a piece of rubber, like tire, inner tube. And then with a rope to that. And so it provides you some flexibility of where you're working. And it's very animal friendly. And so that trick is one that we keep in our tack room. And when we're not going to have the crew we need, we certainly pull out the Nord fork. That is one good, this applies to either end. Good vaccine guns are pretty darn important. So you can load an entire bottle of vaccine and you can roll because you get rolling pretty darn quickly. My son, who is just the embodies cowboy, would say good dogs are a tool in a toolbox. So he's just 17, so he's really just started working with dogs. But we've had some cows pretty reluctant to come in this fall, and those dogs got behind them, and they stopped reconsidering our suggestion to go in. And so those dogs were a tool. They're a whole nother ball of wax with a lot of moving parts as well, and just adds another factor. But those dogs have been an asset when he goes out to gather some rogue cattle. He uses those dogs as well, and that would certainly be a tool that keeps cows a little bit more where you want them and able to be caught. And so that's a handy asset that we're utilizing as well.
Love it.
Yep.
So much good stuff there. You got me excited to go work cows again, which I'm going to do this
Good.
afternoon, except I have to use a vet,
Yep.
so.
Yep. Well, I hope it still goes smoothly, and we've got a few more that we have yet to work this fall as well. And it's deer season here in North Missouri. So as soon as we get a deer season, we'll get back to that. But meanwhile, we're still enjoying fall and all that working cattle via horseback offers us. So we'll keep after it. And I know that like we mentioned, you may not be able to see them from the road, but they're all over, and it's really good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else that you want to add that we didn't cover that you think is important or relevant to producers knowing?
No, I really appreciate this conversation, and I'm really interested to see how it evolves. But thank you for having it, and I think we covered a lot of ground this morning.
You bet, Ashley. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to visit with me and sharing your expertise and insight. And I hope that folks can learn the tricks and the tips and make a decision of if they want to work this way or how this works best for them. And yeah, look forward to having more conversations with you.
Yes, thank you. I do as well. We are thrilled to be partnering and get to see you take over the helm of the Midwest Cattlemen.
Thanks so much.
Yes, thank you.